The Punt Podcast, in association with the FWA.
Genuinely wants to spend the rest of his career at Tottenham Hotspur. I think he's mad.
I'm sorry, how can he escape Flash? It's unbelievable.
So this is an obvious snap. It's a team in great form at home against a team who just aren't that good.
I think he'll score some goals in League One. It's 17 to 10 any time. Deadly from set pieces and in the air.
Right, the boss is up for manager of the month. They've been phenomenal. Their odds against. Love it.
Subscribe to The Punt on iTunes. Listen on Audio Boom or look out for the link on Twitter or on William Hill's Facebook page.
Welcome along to The Punt. I know I promised Dave Cowler this week, but once again, he's let me have my moment of glory. I think it's because I had a winning nap, chaps. Lee Phelps here with Derek McGovern and Andy XL. You both well?
Yeah, great. Lovely
6-4 for over 3.5. It's the first winning nap I've had in about 3 years, I think that is.
What was it again?
Over 3.5 goals in the Tottenham Man City. Remember that crazy stat where there'd been two previous 7:45 Saturday games and there'd been four goals in each? It's happened again.
Oh, yeah. Very scientific, Ben. Yeah, well done,
Lee. Your scientific nap, which I liked, didn't quite happen, but it was Bournemouth to outscore themselves in the second half compared to the first. They didn't have any less goals, Derek, so I think that's something you could take.
Yeah, a moral victory. Yeah, exactly. And I did a lot of research for that bet.
I know. It's taught you a lesson, hasn't it, Derek?
It has.
Go back to your old ways of no research whatsoever. Andy, you had your winning nap, of course, as well, which was Newcastle to beat Arsenal, going against your club, but paying dividends at 5-2.
Yeah, weakened lineup away from home. All the stats becoming obvious now. It's terrible away from home. So that was all right.
You know what? Arsenal away from home. They've only scored more, two goals more than Southampton away from home, and they've conceded more away from home than West Brom have. Isn't that incredible?
Yeah. Amazing.
What's more incredible is that's more incredible. That's more research from you.
I wasn't going to do anymore.
It's April, isn't it? It's getting to the end of the season. I'll just do a bit more research. We've got the chaps going to talk about the Premier League and FA Cup semi-finals in a second or two. We've also got James Ollie, the chief football correspondent from the Evening Standard, coming up in a little while as well. Plus, the best bets in Europe, in the Championship, in League One and League Two. But let's dive in, shall we? We're going to go through the TV games in order. So we'll pick up the FA Cup semi-finals as we progress through. Just bear in mind, as we record this podcast, Burnley, Chelsea and Leicester, Southampton still to be played. West Brom versus Liverpool is where we start. West Brom are 5-1, 3-1 the draw, 8-15 the price for Liverpool away from home. Liverpool, of course, sitting in third position in the league. West Brom rock bottom. But obviously, West Brom come into this with a little bit of a spring in their step, as much as you can have sitting where you are, having beaten Manchester United and effectively handed Man City the title a little earlier than maybe people thought they would get it. This should be an open and shut case, Derek, for Liverpool to win. Is 8-15 the sort of price you could take about a team who are third against a team who are bottom?
Only if you're a lunatic. Liverpool haven't beaten West Brom in two matches at Anfield this season. 0-0 before Christmas and then lost that 3-2 match in the FA Cup. And West Brom were managed then by Alan Pardew. And they've got shut of him now. I couldn't back Liverpool. They've only got one game in their sights. That's Roma on Tuesday. Remember when they played Everton in the Merseyside derby a few weeks ago? And I said, well, it doesn't matter to them. They're playing Man City next week. That's the only game that matters. And Liverpool really didn't try a leg in that Merseyside derby. And no one gave two hoots. It wasn't an important game. This is the same. Why would you back odds on pokes, 8-15 pokes in a match they've got absolutely zero interest in? They're going to finish in the top four. They're 10 points clear of Chelsea now, with Chelsea only got five games to go, or four after Thursday night. So there's not a hill of beans in this for Liverpool. Do a back West Brom? Well, on the evidence of what they did against Man United last week, yeah. I mean, under the new caretaker manager, Darren Moore, they've changed their approach from route one to boot one, I think it is. They're looking more likely under him to get a result. That result being defeat, you'd have thought. But no, he's had a draw and a win in two games. They look like a side that are finally, with four games to go, are putting up a bit of fight. They're still going to go down, but they might go down not with a whimper now. And I think they're worth a bet here. They've got nothing to fear from Liverpool. Played them twice when Liverpool were flying. Didn't lose. Liverpool won't be interested in this game. I'm back on West Brom.
Andy, we were talking when the podcast started about it. Derek was saying how poor Arsenal's away record was and the defence. It's interesting to see that Liverpool have conceded 25 goals away from home compared to Arsenal's 26. So, you know, Liverpool only the second worst team in the top six in terms of defence, and that kind of that adds a bit more fuel to Derek's fire there of West Brom could be a bayer.
Yeah, it does. And the other stat I've dug out is that unbelievably, I couldn't believe this when I read it, West Brom have scored in their last 8 home games. So, you know, they are likely to score, and Liverpool are likely to play a shadow team. So you can see some interest in West Brom. I just can't quite bring myself to back them still, even after last week where they had the rub of the green and dug out a result. I think the draw of both teams to score might be the way to look here because, as Derek says, Liverpool are looking at next Tuesday, not at this game. So draw on both teams to score might be the way to go given West Brom do score at home.
15-4 the price for that. Jay Rodriguez, a score and a West Brom win, was 17-2, now 9-1. Mohamed Salah, who has got something to play for, of course, wants to pip Harry Kane to that top scorer accolade. He's even money to score in a Liverpool win, and that was priced up at 10-11. So that's all your betting for the first of the TV Premier League games this weekend. Let's have a look at the FA Cup semi-final on Saturday night, shall we? That's Manchester United versus Tottenham. 11-5 the price for Man United. The draw is 23-10, and the away team, Tottenham in inverted commas, are 5-4. 5:15 kickoff. Peculiar one this, Andy, with the way it's worked out with Wembley and all that, isn't it? Spurs are unbeaten at home, again in inverted commas, since 2012-2013. 3 draws and more recently 3 wins. Been a lot of a lot of complaining about Spurs playing their semi-final at home. It's an odd one, isn't it? You think maybe they could have found a way of making this a little bit fairer.
You could, yeah. I mean, particularly given when you look at the stat that the last 7 meetings between these two teams have been won by the home team,
yeah,
which normally is Tottenham, but it's not too far to travel for most Man United fans either, so even though it's in London. So, I think Tottenham are a bit short for this. I think United might be the better, yeah.
11-5 the price. It does look, when you're looking at two fairly equal teams, Derek. Yeah, you know, you may not say they are equal, but if it was a neutral venue, Man United shouldn't be 11-5.
No. I mean, but just going back to that point you raised about Tottenham. I mean, at the beginning of the season, it would have been easy for the FA to say, you know, Tottenham are playing at Wembley this season. Therefore, if they get to the FA Cup semi-final, or even, well, they're not going to play the final on neutral ground, obviously, but the semi-final, we'll play that at Old Trafford or, Anfield, wherever. It's just unfair. It's totally unfair. United were diabolical last week against West Brom, but they did a job against Bournemouth on Wednesday night, and that's symptomatic of United now. You don't know what you're going to get from them. Or from the manager, who seems to be, increasingly disenchanted. I don't know what to think about this game. I do think that Tottenham are a little bit underpriced. And I think player for player, Man United are a better side, you know. I do. I know that, you've got the likes of Christian Eriksen for Tottenham who'd walk in the United team. But the signs of life finally in Pogba. And I've just got a sneaking feeling United will do them this weekend. But it's not a game that I would... Are we putting the mortgage money on?
Yeah, there's a few interesting stats. Interestingly, Tottenham have lost each of the last 7 FA Cup semi-final ties, which is the longest run in the competition's history. Lukaku scored in each round Man United have played in so far this season. That's 5 goals in total. But Tottenham are the highest scorers in the competition this season. 17 goals in their 6 games. So there's a few. You'd imagine maybe there could be goals in this one. The betting once again there, 11-5 Tottenham at Man United, 23-10 the draw, the away team Tottenham at 5-4. Man United for you then, Andy, what are you going for, Derek?
Yeah, I'll go for United as well.
Let's have a look at the Sunday Premier League game, shall we? Arsenal versus West Ham is the first of the two on TV. This is a 1:30 kickoff. Arsenal are priced up 8-15, 7-2 the draw, 9-2 West Ham. I guess, Derek, you could use the same argument you used for Liverpool, that with Roma on the horizon, why would they try a leg? Arsenal, of course, have got what they're playing for this season is the Europa League, and that's obviously on the horizon for them. At home, where they've obviously got a tremendous record, so you know that has to play into their favour. But I can't imagine that Arsenal would be 8-15. If those two things weren't in place, there'd be a price like 1-3, and you'd be balking at it. Is 8-15 a bet for an acca?
No, for the reasons you've just outlined, and for the fact it's Arsenal. I know that it's Arsenal at home, and they're a different animal. I think they've won. I think their home record is the same as Man United: 13 wins, 2 draws, and 2 defeats. But I think they're a shambles, Arsenal. I'm not getting fooled by what they've done in Europe. I mean, Middlesbrough and Fulham have been to the final of the Europa League in recent years. So Arsenal might get there, well, we'll be due. In fact, they won't get there anyway. They'll lose in the semis. Going into this podcast before Thursday night's game, Arsenal were 2 points ahead of Burnley, and I don't know who should be more ashamed of that, Arsenal or Burnley. I can't back Arsenal here. They've got too much on their plate. And I mean, the six, if Burnley were to have won on Thursday night, you know, maybe there'll be a bit more pressure on Arsenal to get a result against West Ham. But the way it stands now, looking at it now, I can only go for West Ham because they're not safe. I mean, they probably won't go down, but they still need to get something. And there's a bit of life in West Ham. I look at West Ham and I'm thinking they shouldn't be down there anyway. Probably the only reason they're down there is because of the identity of the manager. I think West Ham have got a chance here, and on these prices, I'll give them a go.
What do you think on this one, Andy? Arsenal versus West Ham. Whatever, you know, and the argument's fair, but punters will still go for that 8-15, won't they?
Yeah, he'll get in Akers just because it's Arsenal at home and people think they win at home. I mean, the record against West Ham is pretty good. They've scored 3 or more goals in 9 of the last 13 meetings against West Ham. So they do tend to score against them. But again, I think you're not going to see quite as weak a team as last week. There's one or two players didn't play last week that probably need to get some game time before Thursday. So you might see one or two of them, but I still don't think it's going to be the strongest Arsenal team. I still think they'll win, but I can't convince myself about the past track record seeing them home. So the one thing you can guarantee is Aubameyang's going to play and he'll score, and he probably might well score the first goal. So 23-10 about him to score the first goal looks all right to me.
Yeah, that looks a decent price. Let's check the team news and then I think have a look at that. It was 19-20 for him to score in an Arsenal win. That's 21-20 now with the enhanced price there. Remember, Bet Boost available on every Premier League game this weekend. Just if you're betting on your mobile, on the app, then once your bet goes into your bet slip, you'll see a yellow button. Hit that and it'll boost your price up from what it is on your bet slip. Let's have a look at the second of the FA Cup semi-finals. This is on Sunday. It's Chelsea versus Southampton. 3 o'clock kick-off this one. Chelsea 2-1 on. The draw 16-5. Southampton are priced up at 11-2. If you're looking at the league table, of course, Chelsea 5th and Southampton in the bottom 3. They wouldn't be priced up like this, surely, Andy, if this was a league game.
No, I've got to be with Chelsea. I mean, Southampton have got to be like me, getting overtaken indoors out for a posh meal. Not feeling too good about the whole incident. But, yeah, I mean, Chelsea have won the last 5 between these teams, but they don't generally hammer them, but they do beat them. And I think half-time, full-time Chelsea is the way to go here. I can't see any other outcome. Chelsea, like I said, all my worry with them all season is their motivation. But they're going to be motivated for this, surely. So I think that's all right.
Derek Giroud has got a bit of a love affair with the FA Cup. Had a hand in 21 goals in his 25 FA Cup appearances. 14 goals and 7 of those nasty assists that you detest so much. That's more than any other player in the competition since his debut in January 2013. So he loves this competition and might be worth a look. Again, you know, obviously team news is all important for these, but it'll be worth a look. And if you can get an enhanced price about him scoring in a Chelsea win, that might be the way in. He's 3-1 to score first, odds on 10-11 to score at any time. It's a bit stinky. But...
Well, yeah, it is a bit. You may say he's got a love affair with the club. It's no bigger than the love affair he has with himself. I don't think. Chelsea wanted. He
looks better. He looks better in a mirror than you.
Oh, nice. I like that.
With all the love bites on his mirror. Yes, I know. I wanted to. Chelsea looks home and hosed, doesn't it? I mean, they haven't been up for, you know, the manager looks as though he's gone. They're going to finish outside the top four. Just things not right at Chelsea, but they've got to beat Southampton, haven't they? I mean, people said that when Mark Hughes was sacked by Stoke that he would never land, land another top-level job. Well, I think so far they've been spot on, because although Southampton are probably playing better than their results suggest, they're not in Chelsea's league. They're not going to get 11-2. Why would you back them? Why would you back Southampton at 11-2 here? You just wouldn't. The fact the only reason they're here is that they played a League One side in the last round and struggled to go through that. People say that the feel-good story, Southampton, of the FA Cup, but I think it's hard to feel good if you live in Southampton or if you watch Southampton. I've got to go with Chelsea. I think the absolute certainties here.
There's always that little weird thing, isn't there, when two teams have played each other recently and you think, it can only be the same. I mean, Chelsea looked like they were in first gear for the majority of that game last weekend, until they got two up, basically. And then they just went, do you know what? We're two down. We better go and win this. And it looked like another team playing, didn't it? So they've got that in the locker as well. Obviously, Giroud scoring two at St Mary's in the Premier League in that 3-2 win. So Chelsea versus Southampton, 3:00 on Sunday, the second semi-final. Hard to be against Chelsea. It's just finding a touch of value. The enhanced odds, as we record this, are Eden Hazard to score in a Chelsea win. That was 13-10. It's now priced up at 11-8. Of course, that would have come in that match last weekend at St Mary's. And the other enhanced odds is Charlie Austin to score and Southampton to win in 90 minutes was 15-2, now 8-1. Back to the Premier League as we flip-flop between the two competitions this weekend for the live games. Manchester City, newly crowned champions, versus Swansea 1-8. Man City, the draw 15-2, Swansea 18-1. I got some interesting stats here, guys. We've done a little bit of work on title-winning teams. What happened to the last 10 teams who played after winning the Premier League? 5 didn't win their following game. 3 only won by a single goal margin. And Blackpool and Watford scored 2 and 3, respectively, at Man United and Chelsea, following Man United and Chelsea winning their titles in those games. So, in a nutshell, in the last 10 games that a Premier League champion has played after winning the title, they haven't fared too well, although there have been 2 wins in there. That kind of plays into the punter's thoughts on this, Derek, doesn't it? You're thinking is, obviously you're not going to touch 1-8 if you're a working man anyway, but, you know, after the partying and all the rest of it, how can you possibly back a team to win at home at 1-8 after having won the title? But it is Swansea, isn't it? It's like, God, they're playing Swansea. They can have a celebration and rack up 5 here.
Well, yeah. Swansea aren't out of trouble, though, are they?
No, not at all.
They've got something to play for.
5 points clear of Southampton as it stands at the moment as we record this.
Yeah. A little statue break, you mentioned that. I'm a bit surprised that I've made the habit of opposing teams in the very next match after clinching the title. And yet, I'm still wearing 10 bobs worth of clubber. So how's that happened? Are you sure those stats are right? Well, and the clubber was borrowed, by the way.
Well, half of them have won. I mean, you know, 3 won by a single goal margin. And you know, obviously, Man United and Chelsea conceded goals. But they're still winning those games, aren't they? So I guess what you're really looking at is you're looking at maybe pluses on the handicaps. And I bet that you tend to like Swansea plus on the handicap. Yeah. Or you're looking at half-time draw, full-time Man City or something like that.
I think it would have to be Swansea on the handicap, wouldn't it? I remember one game, I think Arsenal, years ago, in the days of Tony Adams, I think they clinched the title. And then I'm pretty sure they were playing Liverpool in a midweek game a few days later. And Liverpool were 5-4 at Anfield to beat Arsenal who clinched the title. And I was telling everybody, it's not the greatest bet. It's the greatest bet, not my lifetime, anybody's lifetime. And Liverpool won 4-0. More recently, Chelsea the same. I think they'd won the league and then they played against Liverpool again in midweek. Liverpool murdered them. Well, maybe they'd reach the FA Cup final, I can't remember, but Liverpool murdered them. The problem here, of course, is that it's Manchester City at home, and, you know, the fans are there. Will the players want to let down the fans and dampen the party? It's a difficult one. You can't back them at 1-8, you're right. But you could back Swansea. You've got something to play for here. I mean, there's too many question marks, isn't there? Too many imponderables. Where Swansea concerned, probably too many Swansea players. But I have to go for Swansea on the handicap here. I think that's the sensible way. You might end up looking like an absolute flum. You know, Man City might win 4-5-0, but I wouldn't be playing at those kind of odds, City.
Swansea plus 3 is 7-10. Swansea plus 2 is 15-8. And Swansea plus a goal, which is probably pushing it a little bit much, is 11-2. But that plus 3 at 7-10, you know, You're getting a two-goal loss on your side there.
Yeah, that's a big price, isn't it?
It looks decent, doesn't it? Andy, which way do you go on this?
I'm along the same lines as you. But both teams have scored in 8 of the last 9 meetings between these two teams. And like you say, you'd imagine City are going to just play open, expansive like they do. And they're not bothered if they concede 1 or 2. But I do think they'll win the game. So City and both teams to score, which last time I looked was 19-10. That don't look like the worst bet in the world to me either, because I think you've hit the nail on the head there with the thing after a team wins a title. A, they're at home, and B, the opposition. If they're playing good opposition, they do tend to struggle. If they're playing lesser opposition, they can whack them, and I think they probably will here. I could see a 5-2 or something like that. It would be ridiculous.
Yeah, that's a decent way in, isn't it? Yeah, for the City to win and both teams to score. Let's round the weekend's action on TV off with the Monday night game, which is Everton versus Newcastle. Everton are priced up at 13-10. The draw's 11-5. 11-5 for Newcastle, who the manager, you may have heard Derek mentioning once or twice this season, Rafa Benitez has done wonders with this team. They're currently a point behind Everton. To be fair, you could argue that Everton have turned their season around as well. The best thing about Everton at the moment, guys, is this poll that's being conducted by the club on a number of things, but obviously the one thing that's grabbed most people's attention is that you get to have a little vote on how they think Sam Allardyce has done, which is wonderful, isn't it? It's fantastic. I can imagine Big Sam in his office thinking, yeah, cheers, thanks. I appreciate that. Thanks for that. There's a spoof Sam Allardyce Twitter account, which is brilliant. It's at Big Everton Sam, I think it's called. And it's well worth a look to see what his view on this is. This is obviously the spoof account. This is what it says. It says, right, taking the piss with all these surveys about my management. I filled my own survey in. Atmosphere from fans, 2 out of 10. Support to the players, 1 out of 10. Flags and banners, 1 out of 10. The march to the ground, 2 out of 10. Not very nice, is it? Which is super.
That's a spoof. I don't know where it'd come from him.
I was going to say that's probably closer to the truth than he would like to admit. There's a football match to be played here, though, chaps, and you know, a bit on this with a bit of pride at stake. Like I say, points to be won, and Newcastle can go above Everton if they win this game. They can move up a couple of places depending on results. Their away form hasn't been anywhere near as good as the home form, obviously, Newcastle. But Everton have been wobbling a little bit recently, obviously against City and Liverpool. Which way do you go on this one, Andy, with Everton at maybe an attractive price of 13-10, now the job's done for Newcastle?
Particularly as they've won 8 of the last 10 meetings between the two teams. But you just got to look at the feeling around the club. And there's not a good feeling at Everton, but at the moment there is a good feeling around Newcastle. It's an interesting match, but actually, who's got more love bites, Giroud or Rafa from Derek? I just, against the stats, which I don't normally do, I've got to think Newcastle here. I just think at the moment, all the momentum's in their direction, and I think they might sneak a win.
Interesting. Derek, which way do you go?
I couldn't go for Everton. It'd be interesting to see who, you know, I mean, Rafa called Everton when he was at Anfield, a little club, and he's never been forgiven by Everton fans. So, I don't know who will be more unpopular among Everton fans, the Newcastle manager or the Everton manager. I suspect the Everton manager, given, you know, there's a toxic atmosphere at Goodison right now, and I can't back them to beat Newcastle, who are flying. Yeah, you could argue that they'll take the foot off the gas now. Safety is, well, it's assured, isn't it? But this is not a manager that will allow that. Everton have got Big Sam and Little Sam in the dugout. And in the dressing room, they got Flotsam and Jetsam. I love that line. That's a great line.
you should have let me say that. Then it'll look bad. If you're just giving it a little bit of air, I'd have complimented you on that.
But no, I did. I left a little bit of air and nobody came in. Jeez. So I had to explain.
It was like half a second. It was like a nanosecond.
You get there quicker next time.
I didn't even get a chance to laugh at it.
I'll do the line again.
You didn't even give me a chance to understand the line.
Maybe you need Flotsam and Jetsam. Maybe you needed to say it like that rather than Flotsam.
Brilliant. That's great. That, Derek.
It's stressing. Thanks, Lexley. Edit that cleverly. I'm going to go for Newcastle. I can't go for Everton here. I look at them and they don't look like a team that knows how to win a game. In fact, every time I see Everton have won, which is not often, I'm thinking, how has that happened? How bad must the opponents be? Well, Newcastle aren't bad, and they're in great form, and they're the biggest, you know, well, almost the biggest, well, they're a lot bigger than Everton, let's put it that way. It has to be Newcastle here.
Let's get the latest from the European top leagues, fresh from a winning nap. Let's find out what the Euro boys are picking for this weekend.
Fiorentina have got going again in recent weeks after a bit of a quiet spell at the start of 2018 where they won just one from eight games. Since then, they've begun to catch fire once more and come into this weekend's fixture against Sassuolo, having won six and drawn one of their previous eight. They catch my eye at an odds against price on Saturday. European football is still a distinct possibility for the away side, who sit just 3 points behind Milan, who currently occupy the final European spot, meaning there is a lot more riding on the game for them, with Sassuolo safely positioned in 13th, and it would appear they've been dreaming of their holidays already, having failed to win a single home game in 2018. That bodes well for Fiorentina, who were unlucky to fall to defeat to Lazio last week, losing 4-3 in that one. They played 83 minutes with 10 men and led the game 2-0 and 3-2 before falling to defeat. There's no shame in losing that game, and a repeat performance would see them win here. They've also recently claimed the scalp of Roma on their travels and have been scoring goals with reliability. They've notched at least two goals in five of their last six matches, which brings Fiorentina over 1.5 into the equation, which looks a good bet at 6-5. Former Aston Villa man Jordan Veretout has hit his straps lately too, and is one to consider for anytime goal scorer play. He's got four in his last four games, including a hat-trick against Lazio, and two of those goals have come from the spot, so you've got the penalty taker on your side as well. There's a fair few ways in here, but for me, Fiorentina to win the game at 5-4 is my nap selection in Europe this week.
Chaps, your turn to pick naps for the weekend. I think I've only been put in here because I had that winner last week. I've got my eye on one already, but I'm going to let Andy go first because you're the regular and you had the winner last week. Andy, with that 5-2 shot, Newcastle to beat Arsenal. Where are you heading this weekend?
City to win and both teams to score.
Yeah, it's a nice bet. That I thought I'd love that as a nap, but I'm sure Andy will pick me to the post. 21-10 looks a nice little nap. That does, to be fair. Derek, do you want to go next?
Yeah, I'm going to go 100-30 bet. Chelsea minus two goals. I think they'll batter Southampton.
I'm going to go for the same bet that Andy's gone for, but in the Liverpool match. I think Liverpool will get the job done. I just think they'll want to keep the momentum going. So I'm going to go with Liverpool to win and both teams to score at West Brom. Can see them conceding. That's priced up at 9-4. Liverpool both teams score, City both teams score, Chelsea minus two, 43-1 on the treble. Andy, thanks very much. Derek's going to stick with us and we're going to speak to James Ollie very soon.
Now at William Hill, you can get your bet onto the website for featured matches. If there's a bet you fancy that's not on the app, just tweet with the hashtag #YourOdds to @WilliamHill and the traders will try to price it up. Hashtag #YourOdds from William Hill.
Right, it's time to welcome James Ollie to the podcast, Chief Football Correspondent with the Evening Standard. This is the FWA part of the podcast where we talk to one of the football writers about some of the burning issues in the game. Derek McGovern's still with us as well, an esteemed football writer in your own way, Derek, of course. I don't want to...
In my own mind.
Yeah, in your own mind. Let's start off with the FA Cup, chaps. We've long been moaning about the magic of the FA Cup being lost, so much so that no one really cares about it anymore, to be honest with you. This year, though, it seems that with the Premier League title being wrapped up so early, it feels like about 2 months ago that Man City were crowned champions. Maybe there's a bit more luster to it this time round. Obviously, Arsenal have still got their minds on the Europa League, got Liverpool with Champions League on their minds. But Tottenham, Manchester United, Chelsea would all love to win this competition now that we're at the semi-final stage, James. Is it regaining some of its luster?
It is, but I think it's doing so probably... It's more mitigation for those three clubs to argue they've had a successful season, I think, than you know, the sort of the lustre of the trophy in its own right, if you like. I mean, you know, I think we all know Antonio Conte is almost certainly going to leave Chelsea at the end of the season, but whether he leaves with another trophy or not would be probably a personal satisfaction to him. I don't think it really makes too much difference to the club in the grander scheme of things. I think for Spurs it does. I think it's, you know, people often talk about and have done with Arsenal in the last sort of 3 or 4 years that it would be potentially a stepping stone to something else. I think that's certainly the case with Tottenham. I think the progress they've made under Mauricio Pochettino has been fantastic in terms of the style and the quality of play, and obviously the results in terms of being able to challenge for the Premier League title, not necessarily this season, but in the last year or two. But they need a trophy really to make that progress tangible. And I think, you know, then. In mitigation, you can argue that they've had a successful season if they finish in the top four and win a trophy, and the same for United, really. I mean, they would have expected to have pushed City far closer in the Premier League, but what the FA Cup does is it gives, obviously, you know, the cliche day out for the fans and the chance for for the players to celebrate something. And again, it's mitigation to say, well, this is good for this season and it's something to build on for next season.
Derek, I suppose ever since United dropped out of the FA Cup way back when, it that seemed to be like almost not a death knell, but you know, that seemed to be one of the first nails in the coffin of the competition. And a lot of people would argue that it struggled to get that back since.
Well, most people would argue that. Yeah, it's you know, you mentioned that maybe all of a sudden teams would be treating it seriously, but it's lost among the fans now. You know, no one's interested in it anymore. We no longer sit watching 5 hours of build-up, including the dramatic moment when the coaches arrive at the stadium.
That was great.
18,
wasn't it? That
yeah,
was great.
18 hairy players don't have to share a bath with Fiona Richmond and a bottle of milk. it's not it. Winning the cup plays second fiddle now to finishing fourth or 17th in the league. Neither of which will happen to Southampton this year, by the way. Yeah, James is right. Well, it's big for Tottenham this year because, you know, they don't win trophies. United and Chelsea have farmed the FA Cup out, you know, a million times in the last 10 years or whatever. Tottenham never win anything, so it's big for them. And yeah, in a funny way, it's not a day out for their fans getting to the final because, you know, they have a day out at Wembley every other week. So it's a bit ironic that I think the FA Cup has killed itself, really, or the FA have killed it, changing the kickoff times, putting it on at the same weekend as Premier League matches sometimes, putting the semi-finals at Wembley. Every single change they've made has been to the detriment of a you know, a once great trophy. Added to the fact that when we were kids, it was the only game live on telly, and now there's, you know, it's just games on every 5 minutes. So it'll never regain its lustre. It doesn't matter what happens this season.
Well, it's also the impact of the Champions League, though, isn't it? I mean, you know, it's funny. Arsene Wenger, for example, for years, when those sort of 9 years when Arsenal didn't win a trophy, he was sort of saying yes, but we've qualified for the Champions League every year, and it's become a kind of point of ridicule at Arsenal that for years, for those lean years, they were saying, oh, the top four is like a trophy. But the reality is that those top sides would rather be in the top four and qualify for the Champions League than win the FA Cup. You know, that's the financial reality of where we are. The rewards on offer in the Champions League are huge. It's a big pulling point to attract new players. It's just where you want to be if you have any pretense to be an elite level club. And sadly, with the growth of the Premier League and the money that there is there for just, you know, you're talking millions of pounds for finishing 10th versus 9th or 8th versus 7th or whatever it may be, you know, millions of pounds per place, it's become, the FA Cup has just become lost in all of that. And it's, you know, if you look at the way that players' contracts, for example, are structured now, they get bonuses for winning Champions League games and, you know, obviously big bonuses for winning Champions League and Premier League titles versus a very nominal amount for winning the FA Cup. And no matter which way you look at it, unfortunately, money talks in football and money has changed the game so dramatically over the last 20, 30 years that the FA Cup has really been sacrificed upon the altar of a more competitive and dynamic Premier League and a hugely expanded and wealthy Champions League.
It's an idea, though. You know, you're never going to get a place in the Champions League for winning the FA Cup because UEFA wouldn't allow that. But how about the Premier League saying we'll offer points for those progressing furthest in the FA Cup? You know, 6 points in the league for those going furthest in the FA Cup. 6 points for the winners, maybe 3 for the runners-up, 1 for the losing semi-finalists. Now, wouldn't that be a great idea? Probably not.
Well, I mean, I suppose to extend that out, though, you'd have to say to the EFL clubs, well, you know, if you win it or if you get, I don't know, you get to the, do you stagger it? Do you say if they get to the quarterfinals or the semifinals, even which would be as good as winning it for a League Two club or a League One club, you know, do they get points? I don't know. I mean, it's...
Oh, hang on. I'm only getting this and making this up, you know, James. Don't ask me hard questions like that.
it's that whole argument of getting them into Europe, you know, it's a way into Europe is another way of looking at it, I suppose.
That's certainly been true with the Europa League. I mean, you look at the Europa League now, Arsenal, United obviously won it last year as their fail-safe to getting back into the Champions League. Arsenal are going all guns blazing to get into the Champions League through this year. I mean, if there was some kind of way of you know, promoting or adding to just winning the FA Cup as an extra prize, it would certainly make the clubs take it more seriously. Yeah, but I, you know, I still think that even among those top six, while it's not a priority at the start of the season, it managers are using it to buy themselves more time. You know, as a general rule, managers get less and less time now. And even Mourinho will argue, well, if, you know, United finish second and
and they've been miles behind City all year, really, certainly in style terms and from points for a large part of it, he can say, well, yeah, but second in the FA Cup. And that's, you know, again, Arsenal, they've won it three times in the last 4 years and each time said, well, OK, we've underperformed in the league, but look, we've got the FA Cup. And so I think managers, they'll probably take risks third, fourth, fifth round. I think there's not a lot you can really do about that. But then when they get to the latter stages, they do play their stronger side because they think, well, actually, you know, this trophy could be worth more to me and the short-term development of the club than just a day out at Wembley winning a trophy.
Back to the money side of things and the Premier League, and there was that a table going around Twitter this week showing the net spend of the last 5 years for Premier League clubs who obviously are in the Premier League at the moment. Not surprisingly, Man City topped that, £780 billion purchased gross. They've sold 217 worth, so the net was 563. You had Manchester United in second, Chelsea in third, Arsenal in fourth, and you had Palace, Everton, Leicester, West Brom, Watford, West Ham, Brighton, Bournemouth, Stoke, then Liverpool, obviously sold an awful lot of players for a lot of money, Newcastle, Huddersfield, Burnley, Tottenham, third bottom in this table, Swansea and Southampton. These tables come out often, guys, and you can argue, you know, whether, you know, teams are buying the titles or not. And about certain managers having the benefit, like Pep Guardiola, of always going into clubs where there's a tremendous amount of money and fantastic players already at his disposal. I guess the question is, you know, should we even consider the idea of almost having some sort of MLS-style structure where it's not strictly a wage cap, but most of the squad has to come under, I think it's just under $4 million a year in... And then you've got like three or four slots for your star players. What do you think, Derek? Is it something that we should look at, or is it just should we just let it roll? We've been doing this for long enough since Blackburn bought the title, in inverted commas. Should we just let it carry on as it is?
Well, I don't think a salary cap would ever work because, I mean, it works in America, obviously, but they haven't got any competition, have they, for their players? Mm. You know, there's no teams on the continent in Canada or whatever, or Brazil trying to poach their players. If you did it in the Premier League, if you said, right, that's the top wages we're going to pay these players, well, Real Madrid will come along and sign them up and you'd be left with, you know, second-class players. If you did it Europe-wide, that might be a bit different. But there's always ways of getting around it, isn't it? I mean, Manchester City got around the fair play thing by having that ridiculous sponsorship deal with Emirates Airways, which is worth absolutely billions to them, even though it's a small airline, comparatively speaking. So there's ways, there's always ways past it, and clubs will. I can't see it ever coming in, and I can't see, even if it did, I can't see it ever working.
Yeah, having covered sports like rugby league, James, without wanting to cast aspersions on anyone, you often find that you know, players might have a sponsored car, or they might have to pay for the shopping, or there are certain perks that, you know, that they get that aren't part of their club earnings, but are linked to sponsorships away from the club. So, you know, you can earn in different ways, I suppose. And would anyone go for it in football?
No, well, I mean, look, the version of it in football is image rights. And, you know, these are, it's only really in the last few years that HMRC are getting to grips with image rights and really nailing down that as a percentage of your overall contract. It's now down at about 17%. I think, you know, 20 odd years ago, you could earn 2, 3, 4 times that maybe as your, you know, and that's then taxed differently if it's an image right, because your image rights might be based with a company overseas and then it's taxed differently. And, you know, there's all these kind of ways around it. And yeah, Derek's right. There, you know, if you were to bring in a salary cap in England, firstly, it would hamstring the Premier League clubs versus the European counterparts who are competing for players. And secondly, there would always be a way around it because, you know, these clubs have got some very creative accountants and lawyers who can find the loopholes and find the way to pay the players. They might say, well, we'll pay the agent pays the player, or we pay a third party, then pays the player. You know, the redistribution of the television money through a salary cap is probably not feasible. What I would think, though, is that I think there is a responsibility with the Premier League, and the money that it generates is such a colossal sort of industry and enterprise now that I think more of that money, there needs to be some kind of recourse for it going back to supporters in terms of subsidising tickets and subsidising travel, because, you know, it's the match day going fans that ultimately, they're the ones that have created this interest and success in the Premier League. I know now the TV revenue dwarfs match day revenue in terms of an overall income for a big club, but, you know, you're selling a product. And if that product is a game where the stands are two-thirds full. It loses its edge. And ultimately, you know, these TV companies who are pouring in millions of pounds and the Premier League is aggressively selling it around the world, the product will be devalued if the stadiums aren't full. So these matchday-going fans need to be subsidised with their tickets or with their travel. And it needs to be some kind of, I would say, a clause written into the next TV contract that says that if it all goes up again, then we say, well, 2%, 1%, whatever, we're talking about a very small amount, goes back to those matchday-going fans to keep those stadiums full, because it's such a key part of keeping the Premier League at the forefront of European and world football.
Yeah, I think the Derek, I mentioned Liverpool and Tottenham there. Net spend over the last 5 years, Tottenham, £2 million, unbelievable. Obviously selling superstar players. Liverpool, net spend £52 million, which is a fraction of Man City's, you know, half of £560 billion. You look at Stoke though. Stoke, net spend £70 million over the last 5 years, and West Brom, £100 million over the last 5 years. You know, that they're in dire straits, heading down to the Championship with that kind of that net spend. They're going to have to cut the cloth accordingly, aren't they? Now that's where it gets tricky.
Well, yeah, without a question. So, I'm sorry, James. Yeah, it's just you've got to say who's responsible for that. I mean, is it a string of managers in the case of West Brom and Stoke, and in the case of City and in the case of Tottenham and Liverpool, is it the fact that they've got now proper managers in their job who are, you know, selling players for big money and bringing in replacements who are at half the price who are probably just as good? I don't know. You've got to, at this moment, looking at it, you say that Klopp and Pochettino are doing unbelievable jobs.
Yeah, I suppose with the first question that Derek posed there, James, is, you know, the Stoke and West Brom situation is that new managers come in and they always get a kitty. And the players, that, let's be honest, the players that they're getting rid of aren't, they're not doing well. The reason there's changed the manager is because you can't really offload these players for mega money. You're just getting rid of them to another club and you're having to pay over the odds to get more players in a rush transfer window or whatever else it is.
Yeah, because these clubs quite often will stretch themselves, and they might do it in a transfer fee that is, you know, disproportionate to the market value, or they might do it with a long-term contract or an inflated wage. And in any of those three scenarios, if that player then underperforms, it becomes incredibly difficult to move them on. I mean, the one thing I'd say about spending money in general is that while someone like Guardiola or City are criticised or said, oh, they bought the title, the phrase you used earlier with Blackburn, and it certainly could be levelled at City, is that it is actually difficult to spend money well. It doesn't matter what level you're talking about. You only need to really compare City and United. City United, since Sir Alex Ferguson left, have spent an incredible amount of money. And the team's got marginally better, perhaps. I mean, obviously, they haven't really seriously challenged for a title. They've got some good component players in there at United, but they haven't really bought a team. And the one thing that Guardiola did was he identified what he needed. They went out and they did their business, by and large, pretty early. And yes, you could argue they paid over the odds or certainly an inflated fee for one or two of their players, but they hit the ground running and they got the title sewn up, you know, nice and early. It is difficult to spend money well at whatever level you argue at, and City have done that well this season. You know, there's no doubt about that, really.
Southampton, bottom of that net spend table, by the way, third bottom of the actual table, basically raking in £10 million a season with the way they've conducted the club. But maybe they'll have to drop down a division to pay for it, in inverted commas. We haven't solved anything there, chaps, but it was a very interesting conversation. James, thanks very much for your time.
Pleasure.
You can read more of James's work on the Evening Standard, of course, chief football correspondent, or on Twitter at James Ollie is the address. Derek, thanks very much for your time as ever.
Pleasure. No problem.
Catch up with Derek next week with Andy XL when Dave Carlett will be back as well. Let's stop in on the Championship, League One and League Two, and get the best bets from Pete, from Gav and from Al Ross.
Hi, my name's Pete Farries and I'm taking a brief break from my birthday holiday, yeah, I mentioned it, to talk Championship naps. Of course, some teams have got plenty to play for, some have got nothing to play for, and Wolves are one of those sides. They're even money away at the Macron against Bolton this weekend, but that to me is still incredible value. 7 wins from their last 10 games, scoring plenty of goals and being very, very confident, suggests that even money is a very good bet. And yes, Bolton and, by extension, Phil Parkinson have done incredible things this season. season. The fact they're even looking away from relegation is incredible in the first place. But they're a side whose form of late at home hasn't been brilliant, and therefore they can be opposed. Three recent home losses. So Wolves at even money to beat almost anyone in this league is incredible, even though they're away from home. And yes, you could argue that the After the Lord Mayor show could apply here. Promotion is guaranteed, so perhaps they'll be off the boil. But I think even money is a great price to suggest they won't be. That's my championship nap. So let's check in with Gav Pushalowski and get his thoughts on League One. We're coming into the home straight in League One, and I'm backing a side at home to win who need just a point to confirm their playoff position, but I'm expecting them to pick up all three, and I'm talking about Rotherham United at home to Bristol Rovers. Bristol Rovers are 12th, 8 points off the playoffs, with 12 points left to play for. So Bristol Rovers have to win every single game to stand any chance whatsoever of breaking into the playoffs. It's looking unlikely. But it does mean they need to come to Rotherham and have a go. And I think that means it'll be a good game for Rotherham, because they like it when teams come and have a crack. And Rotherham do tend to score plenty at home. Twos and twos and threes and twos and threes. Rotherham United's last three victories at home: 3-1 against Oxford, 2-1 against Doncaster, and 3-2 against Fleetwood Town. And Bristol Rovers have only failed to score in three of 8 games on their travel. So this, for me, is going to be goals, goals, goals. I think it's going to be a day that Rotherham cement their playoff position, and I'm backing Rotherham United to beat Bristol Rovers, with both teams to score at 13-5. Looking at League Two, here's Al Ross.
With the Accrington banana skin avoided last week and both score no draw landing in Crawley Coventry, I'm going back to the same well again this week, and I'm wondering how far to push it. Maybe it's my sexy sounding head cold talking, but I'm going to try a big price in Exeter Crawley. Exeter still in with a real chance of automatic promotion, just 2 points off. Home advantage over a Crawley side who are 14 points above the drop but 11 points off the playoffs. That's as mid-table as you can get. Nothing left to play for. Exeter, 4-5, fine. Exeter, though, have won despite conceding in 4 of their last 6, including in midweek. Crawley have lost despite scoring in 4 of their last 6. Both teams to score is 4-5, over 2.5 goals, 10-11, fine. But Exeter to win this and both teams to score is not 4-5, it's 14-5. Exeter have seen 22 goals in their last 6 games, an average of over 3.5. 13 scored, 9 against. Both teams to score has landed in all of them. The only team that stopped them scoring more than once were champions-elect Accrington. Crawley, 29 goals in their last 7 games, an average of over 4 per game. Both teams to score has landed in all of those. In fact, the only times both teams to score has not landed in 2018 with Crawley is when they're playing teams in the bottom 4. In all of the other 15 games they've played this calendar year, both teams to score has landed. Now feel free to get both teams to score, or indeed overs on the goals if you want something near evens. I am napping though, Exeter to win this one and both teams to score at 14-5.
Thanks to the guys. If you don't have any bet on the Premier League or the FA Cup this weekend, then do it wisely. You can use the app, you can use the mobile site, you can use williamhill.com, you can pop into one of our shops. If you're betting on the app, remember, the bet boosts are available on every Premier League game. We've got hashtag your odds as well, so if you want to ask for a bet on Twitter, just tweet at William Hill with the hashtag your odds, put your bet in there, and the traders will do their very best to price it up. All the offers are available on the website and on the app. If you're enjoying listening to this podcast, it's all free. It's available on Audio Boom, it's available on iTunes and all your other podcast providers. Leave us a review, and all we ask is that you spread the word, tell a friend. The Punt is available on a Monday and on a Thursday every single week. Thanks very much for listening, and if you're having a bet on any of the football this weekend, very best of luck.